4 second difference. LeBron on the fly, got his own miss and puts it up and in. LeBron James gives the Lakers the lead.
Yeah, NBA Straya. How you going? You right? This is NBA Australia. It is Friday, July 31, and basketball's back. Well, the NBA's back. The WNBA's been back for a little while. But anyway, I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, finally giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Breakdown, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while ripping straight just a little bit. That's what we do here. And yep, Larry Armour Studios is still filthy, even though old mate seems to have picked up a bunch of her stuff off the floor. So that's nice. Good on her. Anyway, our long no NBA nightmare is over. Even if our long coronavirus nightmare continues unabated. But still, we got two games. We're going to wrap them up today with all the usual dumbassery. That means the return of That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Pantsing of the Evening, and Better Than Lonzo Ball, as well as a bit of a Dickhead of the Week. Of course, there's Yeah Nas, there's the Unpopular Opinion of the Day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's also the Australian Player Watch. That's back, which is legendary. And because it's Friday, we're going to do a quick Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. And probably my favourite part of all this, a pick and preview for every game for the entire weekend. We've got that much basketball. I'm excited. That's brought to you by playup.com.au. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia for all your sweet NBA odds. And we'll close out with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. Unreal. Basketball's back. I'm excited. Let's get to it. This is NBA Stir episode 449. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Better watch out for the Scott Foster attack if you're that second game today. Jesus. I know we haven't had basketball for 4 months, but Jesus, refs, just go fucking easy. All right, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. That's right. We're back daily. Are you excited? I'm Big Kev. I'm excited. First off, we kind of mentioned this the other day. Zero NBA players have tested positive for the Rona out of the 346 tested at Orlando since July 20th. So that's good. Stoked. It's 2 weeks in a row we've hit zero. Meanwhile, MLB is just a shit show. Oh, brutal. Old mate was like, oh, how often do they test the baseball players? And it's like, well, they kind of leave it nebulous. Whereas all the NBA dudes are getting tested daily. So good job to Adam Silver and co to at least get two games in. Feeling good about this. Other news, Eric Gordon will be out a couple of weeks. We mentioned this in Wednesday's show. Mike D'Antoni was out there going, no, he'll miss a couple of days. And everyone's like, what? You fucked his ankle, Mike. Jesus. It's a couple of weeks at least. So Eric Gordon really puts a big hamper on the dampener, on the Houston Rockets and their crazy small ball lineup. Because you'll remember, they've got no fucking center. And their entire idea was to play Eric Gordon, Rusty Westbrook, and fast Jimmy Harden when he's not at the Rippers all together at the same time. Bobby Covington, PJ Tucker, and away you go. Without Eric Gordon, this means a lot more Austin Rivers, a lot more Daniel House, and a lot more probably losses for the Houston Rockets. Just saying. Speaking of missing players, no Bledsoe or Paddy Connaughton for the Bucks tomorrow against the Boston Celtics. They're working themselves back into game shape after being positive for that Rona. So, look, speedy recovery. They're back in Orlando, though. Here's hoping they actually get back to full health. because it's going to be fascinating to see how that goes. Officially, the New York Knickerbockers of New York City have hired Tom Thibodeau as their new coach. 5 years. Looking forward to him being ex-New York Knicks coach in 2023. Now, I mentioned this on Wednesday's show. I'm all for it. Fuck it. Just go for it. Why not? If you're going to go with a retread, why not see if Tibbs will work one more time? He might be a bit outdated. He also might whip you young fellas into shape. Who knows? Anyway. And finally, one of my favorite ongoing narratives, I want to say. And if you listen to this show, on the reg, you get this one. The Embiid-Simmons debate and people just loving, fucking loving, to go, oh, they need to trade one of them. They don't get along. What? Joel Embiid said yesterday, when you think about it, this is only our third year together. You see the potential what we have. What we have, that we have. I love him, and I want to be with him the rest of my career. I don't see a point in ever wanting to play with somebody else. Lovers. That's nice, isn't it? Good job, Joel. That's fucking gross. All right, with all that in mind, are you excited? Let's wrap some games from today, because I am fucking excited. It's Game Wraps. We're back, baby. We back. Game Wraps, Game Wraps, Game Wraps. Game Wraps, Game Wraps, Game Wraps. Woo! I am excited for this. Awesomely as well. Ahead of both of these two games today, we did see the NBA put their money where their mouth is a little bit. A lot of terrific video content about social justice messages and racial equality and everything before the tip-offs. And, of course, the NBA players, the refs, everybody in attendance kneeling during the national anthem, which was fan-fucking-tastic to see. I thought it was great. Really powerful moments as well. And you do forget that Colin Kaepernick, you know, basically sacrificed his fucking career and was blackballed by the NFL for doing this. And it's really cool that the NBA players, the NBA, are all mature enough, adult enough to go, yes, this is a good way to protest police brutality and racial inequality. It's not protesting the fucking anthem. It's protesting black folk being killed at a terrifyingly higher rate by the police and suffering through racial inequality still in the year 2020. So good on them. This was fucking fantastic. All right, with that in mind, the games, Utah, the Jazz, it's a soft J, beat the New Orleans Pelicans. They were the Pelicans today. Strange game, 106-104. The Jazz start off on fire, then didn't hit a shot for what felt like about 15 minutes. Lost their lead, struggled to get it back, were down after the first quarter already, after jumping off to a fast start. Rudy Gobert's Steph Tower scored the first bucket back, which, considering he fucking caused this all to shut down in the first place, was kind of poetic. Thanks, Rudy. French fried fuck. Anyway, but look, this was a tussle. Utah never really let it get out of complete hand. New Orleans just sort of were playing like they basically had this in the bag from about halfway through the second quarter on. And they were up big. They were up massive. And the Jazz just sort of stuck around, didn't they? They just stuck around. Went on a bit of a run with the starters of the fourth quarter. And the Pelicans' defense just fell apart. Jazz retook the lead with about 4 minutes left. First time since the first quarter. Driving kicks, threes. Driving kicks, threes. Rinse, repeat. Free throws, boom, 11-1 run. Jazz have the lead. Pels couldn't hit a shot to save their fucking life. The Pelicans hadn't guarded off the dribble, basically, outside of Jrue Holiday for any part of this game. So Utah just went, oh, well, that's all right. We'll just go to the basket. And that's exactly what happened. Everyone would basically pick up their dribble, drive to the basket, get fouled. I think they scored 56 points in the paint, the Jazz, which is fucking crazy. And then Donovan Mitchell, well, that basically also helped open up the three-point line. You saw a bunch of threes hit late for the Jazz. And then Donovan Mitchell just took over down the stretch, scored the last 8 points until he dished to Rudy Gobert for the final free throws with 6 seconds left. The game-winning free throws. How's this? Rudy gives Donovan the Rona, shuts down the NBA, scores the first points back, and hits the game-winning free throws. Not bloody bad. Spindles Ingram had a wide-open three-point look and missed. Pelicans shit the bed big time. Zion Williamson played 15 minutes because the Pelicans are fucking morons. I mean, how do you have a minutes restriction for Zion and not have any of those minutes? Maybe in the final 3 minutes of a fucking game you have to win, you fucking idiots. Jesus! Morons. Anyway, the Pelicans, Spindles Ingram. Everyone was like losing them all. Look how good he is. It's like he's had another off season. And then he went 7 of 20. loved it. 2 of 8 from 3. Basically, anytime Zion wasn't around, Spindles really was just like, ah, fuck, I'm the focus. And the defense is just collapsing on me. And fuck, I can't do much. There was a mid-range jumper that he missed late. And obviously the game-winning 3 that he missed, that you're just like, come on, man. 8 rebounds as well for Spindles, 0 assists, classic Spindles, and 0 steals. Just remember the 7 to 20 every time someone says, Spindles Ingram is better than Ben Simmons. You have to blow it out your ass. Zion, I mentioned he only played 15 minutes. He scored 13 points and went 6 of 8 in that time and was somehow a minus 16. Just shows you that the Yaz was sort of just sticking around, weren't they? Jrue Holiday, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He was incredible at times. Some really great defense, and then a couple of big lapses too, which has always been my problem with Jrue Holiday. He'll have these just world-beating possessions, and then he'll foul a 3-point shooter sometimes. And you're like, what the Jrue? What are you doing? Fuck! Lonzo Ball was fucking horrible. We'll talk about him in a second. Had a great couple of passes. I think we had Lonzo to Zion for a fucking thunderous oop. And then Zion with a beautiful little behind-the-back pass to Lonzo for a nice little layup. But that was about the only good moments of Lonzo's day. JJ Redick was huge off the bench. Kept the shot with 2 minutes left to tie it all back up. And then didn't go to him again. Good job, Pelicans. Fuck me. 21 points, 3 of 8 from downtown. 3 turnovers as well. At least Etuan Moore wasn't Etuan less today. 8 points in only 14 minutes, 2 or 3 from deep for him. Josh Hart was also okay early, 10 points, 2 or 3 from downtown. Then did his usual Josh Hart disappearing act, where you don't hear fucking shit from him in the fourth quarter. And Nicola Malley, hello! Didn't do shit in his 14 minutes. He had 3 steals, 0 points, missed his shots, nothing. And Jackson Hayes, the rookie. Talk about spindles, Jesus, Jackson. Basically lost on the game by running over Joe Ingles about 6 and a bit minutes left, and the Pelicans just fell fucking apart from there. I'm going to talk about that later. The Yaz, look, they scored at will in the paint. I mentioned that, 56 points. All the starters were in double figures. No Bojan. Look, I said this on Wednesday's show. They're going to be one of the most unpredictable teams along with Denver in this bubble because, A, there's no home court advantage with the whole crazy altitude of Utah and Colorado, but also because their teams are just a bit wonky, whether it be due to injuries or due to the Rona. And that's exactly what happened with the Yaz. They looked fucking incredible at times and horrible at other times. Mitchell, yeah, 20 points, as mentioned, took over down the stretch, scored those 8 points before Rudy hit those last 2 free throws. Was having a very rough shooting night until the last quarter. Ends up 6 of 14, not bad. 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Mike Conley filled in the gaps in very typical Mike Conley fashion. 20 points, 4 assists. Looked really good at points and then disappeared for a couple of other ones where you're like, oh, fuck, Mike Conley's out there. Jeez. I need a little bit more of the good Conley, obviously. Rudy Gobert, the Stafford Tower, the French rejection, 14 and 12 with 3 blocks, 3 turnovers, 4 or 5 from the free throw line. Which for, 62% free throw shooter is fucking good. Royce O'Neal, 12 points and 9 rebounds as well. Jingle and Joe Ingles with 13-2. Royce and Jingles basically having to combine to replace Bojan. Didn't look too bad because they've got Jordan Jeremy Clarkson off the bench now, the Yaz. Don't forget, he was traded for Dante Sexum-up Exum. And he was massive off the bench today, Jordan Jeremy Clarkson. Couldn't hit shit from 3. I think he was 0 of 7 until he hit one late when they were down 7, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Goes 8 of 17 overall. He was very, very good, basically, in the end. And you're like, oh, shit. He was also another player where you're like, oh, he's not doing a giant amount. Wasn't shooting great. And ends up 8 of 17. 1 of 8 from downtown. But 23 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals for Jordan Jeremy Clarkson. Good stuff. Not much else from the rest of the bench. George Niang, 0 of 6 in 13 minutes. What are you doing, mate? Manny Moutier went 0 of 2. And Bradley, look, 4 and 5 in 14 minutes. But yeah, look, good job by the Yaz starters. Pels, they now drop to 28 and 37, 4 games back in Memphis. Remember, got to be within 4.5 to push that play-in series. And the Yaz, 42 and 23, 4th in the West, 1.5 games clear now of OKC in 5th. Nice. All right, and then the second game today, both games decided by 2 points. The Lakers win 103 over the LA Clippers, 101. Funky, weird, shitty game, wasn't it? Thanks to the refs and a fuck ton of turnovers. Clippers, they looked funky early on. A lot of Kawhi. And then a lot of Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson. But it was very cool to see Joakim Noah out there. I think I tweeted out, I never expected to see JaVale McGee on the Lakers being guarded by Joakim Noah on the Clippers in the year 2020. At Disney World. It was fucking crazy. But what a roller coaster of a game this was. Lakers are up 13. Kawhi and Paul George led the Clips to go back up 11 in the third quarter, which was fucking nuts. Paul George has had a flamethrower moment, and so did Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis fought all the way back for the Lakers to get them in it, hit a couple of threes himself, took over late in that third. Lakers then had a 15-3 run and went back up 11 halfway through the fourth quarter. It was absolutely fucking bonkers. I'll tell you what. It really was. It was just like, what the fuck is happening here? And it just didn't stop. Clippers slowly reeled them back in. Pat Bev hit a couple of shots. Kawhi did some damage. Isn't that right, Kawhi? Yay. Paul George went bonkers as well, scored the last 8 Clippers points, including 3-pointer that he hit with 28 seconds left to tie it back up. And then, of course, LeBron James happens. Missed a shot. The follow-up. The put-back. All the Clippers standing around asleep. Stopped playing. LeBron went and got the ball. Put it back in. Boom. Lakers go up 2. Then LeBron follows that up with 6.9 seconds. Nice. Also, with incredible defense for the Lakers on Kawhi. Yay. And Paul George. He switched out onto both of them, forced Paul George basically to half court. Paul George had to take a fucking off-balance 3. Yeah, like LeBron kind of had his arm on his waist or whatever. But Jesus, bang. Not going to get that call against LeBron in the dying seconds. And game over. Lakers win. Insane game. Took fucking forever to go just because of all the fouls and turnovers. But anyway, good Lakers win. They're now one game away, I think, from completely locking away the number one seed in the West. And not bad. Clippers, they went 16 to 36 from downtown in this game, but 21 turnovers. Paul George was incredible in the second half. Ends up with 30 points, 6 of 11 from downtown. 3 steals, 3 assists, 5 rebounds, and 5 turnovers. Just a really fun, weird Paul George game. Kawhi. 28 points, 4 assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks, plus 16, was just devastating at times. And it's weird to watch Kawhi now because you're kind of like, he doesn't look 100%. And then you realize he scored like 13 points in 8 minutes. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? It's classic. It's just what Kawhi does now. 12 points for Pat Bev off the bench. Mook Morris stunk. For the Clips, 0 of 4 in 19 minutes. Reggie Jackson stunk it up too. 10 points on 10 shots, 1 of 4 from 3. Every shot that he took, you're like, that's not going in. And when the ones did go in, you're like, oh, that was a fluke. Sham Wow also stunk. Landry Shamet, 0 of 5 from downtown. They got a little bit from Jermichael Green with 8 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 pats. Patrick Patterson, 5 and 4 from him. And Joakim Noah, look, I didn't mind his game at all. First game back, pretty cool. Good on him. Happy for him. Don't know how much of a difference he's going to make. 10 minutes for Joakim. 4 rebounds, an assist, a block. 4 fouls in 10 minutes, though. Not bad, not bad. For the Lakers, they shot 39% for this game and won, which is crazy. I guess it's because they committed 5 less turnovers. 16. That is insane, isn't it? 37 turnovers for this entire game. Like, that is just fucking wild. Anthony Davis was incredible, though. Until late, at least. Only scored 2 points in the fourth quarter after having 32 through the first 3. 34 points for him, though. He was incredible. Talk about him again in a second. LeBron James had 16, 11, and 7. Was on a horrible shooting night. 6 of 19 overall, but saved it at the very end with that game-winning go-ahead shot. And then the defense to close it out. That was some pretty impressive stuff from LeBron. Kuz was handy as well. 16 points off the bench for him. 4 of 7 from 3. 6 points each for Danny, not the box of green, and the notorious KCP. They went 2 of 6 and 2 of 8, respectively. For the Lakers to win when Danny, not the box of green, and the notorious KCP go of 4 of 14 combined, and Caruso went 2 of 7 as well. So the three of them go, what is that, 6 of 21? 6 of 23, fuck me. To win is insane. And a lot of that was because of probably my favorite player in the NBA right now, not named Rusty Westbrook, Dion Waiters. Dion! He wasn't D off today, I'll tell you what. 11 points, plus 17, 1 of 6 from deep, but didn't faze him. 5 of 10 overall. Ah, Dion Waiters. So much wiggle. I loved it. What a great, fun, sort of little snapshot of a basketball player it was there for Dion. 21 minutes for him today. That was fun as hell. JR only got out there for 8. Didn't do much. Didn't trouble the scorers. 0 points and a foul, and that was literally all he did. Yeesh. Keith Morris did fuck all. Dwight Howard nearly fouled out in 13 minutes. 5 fouls. That's a bit of rust. Also, he's shit, but there you go. Good win for the Lakers. They're now 50-14. As mentioned, basically have locked up the one in the West. They can cruise the rest of this way in the seeding games. The Clips, meanwhile, 44-21. One game up only on Denver from the 3 seed. So, I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how Denver go. And the Clips without Lou Will, without Montrez. This was a really close game for them. And if they could have stolen it, they would have been laughing. But they didn't. Didn't expect them to win either. I tipped against them. But look, the fact that they nearly won this without two of their four best players, yeah, good showing. All right, let's do an NBA Stereo Proof performance of the night, shall we?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
I mean, the knife really was LeBron doing the follow-up. Holy shit, but the rest of his night was fucking horrible. Whereas Anthony Davis kept the Lakers in this, while everybody else couldn't hit the fucking side of the backboard. Literally, in some cases, like Lonzo. But Kuz was pretty much the only one doing anything for... Kuz and Waiters are the only ones doing anything really for the Lakers. Anthony Davis, meanwhile, was just fucking unstoppable. 34 points, I mentioned that. 16 of 17 from the free throw line. Very, very impressive. 2 of 5 from 3, 8 of 19 overall, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 turnovers, but wow, he was impressive. The knife, though, that's got to go to LeBron. That was pretty fucking incredible. And meanwhile, same for Donovan Mitchell, just taking over at the very end of that Utah-New Orleans game. And then the drive and kick to Rudy, get the free throws, win the game. Pretty impressive all-round stuff. There you go. But AD, just... when he goes on one of those tears, you're like, oh, he might be the best player in the NBA. And then he has a fourth quarter like he did, and you're like, oh, nah, LeBron's still probably better than him. Tough scenes. What about old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Jackson Hayes. I mentioned this earlier. I reckon he lost the Pelicans the game. With about 6.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, he ran over Jingles. Just straight ran over Jingle and Joe Ingles. The Pelicans were up 7 on a fast break. Give it to Jackson Hayes. He goes straight down the middle of the floor. He's got two dudes flanking him. Could pass it. Just goes, nah. There's the fucking 6'9" Australian. Balding accountant looking motherfucker. I'm going to run this prick over. Jackson, what are you doing, you idiot? Seriously, up 7, they score there. It's probably close to over at that point. Nah, Jackson Hayes runs straight into Jingles, turns it over. Within a minute, the Jazz are up, basically within 2 points and closing. And that was basically the last time the Pelicans really had a big sniff of actually winning that game. So, Jackson Hayes, I feel like someone might have pulled him aside after this game. Went, Rook, come on, man, what are you doing? Pantsing of the evening. I want to say the Pelicans in general as well, because that was just gross. They were just shit. That fourth quarter, like, they were all bad in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like, they got outscored 27-17 in the fourth quarter. No one could hit a shot. It was just fucking atrocious. And you're like, oh, but
They're a young team. I guess that should happen. Well, they're the young team. They should have the fucking legs. You know what I'm saying? Like, Utah, grind it out. Give it to Donovan Mitchell. He wins, you know, the game basically on his back. And you're like, all right, well, good job, Donovan. Meanwhile, Spindles Ingram, everyone wants to blow him. He goes fucking and has a shit one. So the Pelicans all got pantsed. But that fourth quarter just specifically was very, very rough watching. Tough sledding. Spindles specifically went 1 of 6 in the fourth quarter. Jrue went 1 of 4. Lonzo 0 of 3. 1 of 3 from Etwane Moore. And just brutal. They shot 6 of 22 in the fourth. So the Pelicans as a collective with the panting of the night. Spud of the night, though.
Spud of the night.
Look, there's a lot of, people who could be nominated for Spud of the Night. Because Georgie Niang, 13 minutes, 0 of 6 from the floor in 13 minutes is particularly impressive. Just a horrible showing. Georgie, mate, what are you doing? Absolutely tough scenes. But come on, man. We've got to give this to one of NBA Australia's favorite punching bags, Lonzo Ball, 2 of 13 in 27 minutes. What are you doing, mate? 0 of 4 from downtown. There was one 3 when he was in the corner that he shot. And it's like, what? That's not it. How did that not even just like hit the side of the backboard, mate? What are you doing? Barely hit rim on some of these shots. And it was great to see everybody blowing Lonzo. It's like, have you seen his shooting form? It's really good now. Look at his shooting form. It's very good. Yes. It's like, nah, still fucked. 2 of 13, 0 of 4. He can't hit shit near the rim. He's one of the worst at-rim finishes you'll see. 4 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 3 turnovers and 4 fouls and minus 8 for the night. 2 of 13 for 4 points. Lonzo. You are not good, and you're Spud of the Night. Speaking of which, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. As long as it's a consortium to buy the Illawarra Hawks. And in which case... you've beaten the balls to the punch. Better than Lonzo Ball. Look, it's literally anybody not named Georgie Niang today. He went 0 of 6. Lonzo had the worst shooting of everybody else. I mean, Manny Moutier went 0 of 2. Favors went 1 of 3, but still. 2 of 13 for Lonzo. What are you doing, mate? I'm going to give this to Kuz. He was great. 16 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, 4 of 8 shooting, 4 of 7 from downtown. He was the perfect third scorer for the Lakers. They needed it against the Clippers. And he just sort of kept it ticking over, especially early in that fourth quarter. You're like, oh, shit, he hits another 3. You're like, yes, feeling good. 4 of 5 from the free throw line. Good job, whereas Lonzo went 0 of 2 from the free throw line. So Kuz, a bunch better than your old mucker. You are better than Lonzo Ball. And then finally, because it's Friday, let's do a bit of a dickhead of the week.
Dickhead of the week.
Scott Foster. Wow, that was some brutal reffing in that Clipper Laker game, wasn't it? Fuck. I mean, it's been 4 months without a ref ruining a basketball game. But shit, the first night back, two behemoth franchises. You got Paul George, Kawhi, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. It's on national TV. And they call that many fucking fouls. Jesus, Scott. Seriously. First night back, you call that many fouls, you dickhead. As I tweeted out, it's Scott Foster. He probably had money on the over for fouls called. And makes a lot of sense. So, there you go. Scotty. So, no, we don't need to investigate this ref who might have been hanging out with the guy who was betting on everything. 57 between Lakers and Clippers. That's a lot of fouls, isn't it? Jesus. All right, we'll be back in a second with some yeah-nas right after. Let's say, do you want to hear from Creaky? Yeah, let's do Creaky.
This is Miss Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Remember, NBA Australia Yeah Nahs are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com. If you're in Melbourne under lockdown, there's only one way to survive it, right? And that's by getting, what, a sample or a Dos Blocos, a slab of it, Dos XPA, or any of the delicious booze at thedailyliquor.com delivered to your door. Yep, booze delivery. If you enter the code STRAYA, all caps as well, they'll chuck in a free sixer of the delicious Dos XPA for free. It's me seriously giving you free beer. I can't do anything more for you, mate. Like, what are you doing? So, if you're in Melbourne, use the code STRAYA, get some free beers, thank us later. And if you just want to buy some anyway, go fucking hard, mate. Just use the code STRAYA, all caps, and we're laughing. All right, let's do some yeah nahs, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether more yeah or more nah. Number one, do the virtual fans suck? So a lot of talk about this. Yeah, nah. Nah, I thought that was all right tonight, wasn't it? They made a bit more noise, I think, to either replicate the noise of the stadium, or they need to pull it down a bit and get us, like, everything that the players are saying. Because, number two, should there be an option to listen to the broadcast without the swears bleeped? Yeah, nah, fuck yes. Jesus, I was swearing at the telly the entire time. Like, why would I care if they're swearing on the telly? It's way more jarring to be sitting there and, like, you know, Portland play tomorrow. If fucking Melo averages a double-double, the broadcast is just going to be silent. Because it cuts out, they swear, and you're like, all right, well, that was fucking annoying. Jesus, why can't I just go, yeah, 18 plus or whatever the fuck? How is this so difficult? Just let me fucking... Mate, people are out there saying, oh, I don't want to wear a mask. It's like, I just want to hear swears. I don't care. I'm not offended. Just let me hear them. I'm a big boy. Meanwhile, wear a mask. Next up, should the Pelicans have played Zion at the end of that game? Yeah, nah, of fucking course yeah. I mean, what are you saving him for? He was injured about 10 months ago at this point. He did his rehab. He was nursed back through 19 games of the season, then had another 4.5 months off. Just play him another 3 minutes to, I don't know, like, be, if nothing else, a decoy for Spindles Ingram. And you're laughing. Because what do you think they're going to be more worried about at the end of that game? You know? I mean, do you think they're going to be sitting there going, oh, no, it's one more has the ball, or Zion Williamson? You know? What the fuck? Like, Nicolo Melli is just out there hanging out. It's just, this is dumb. It's just so dumb. Stop being dumb. Don't do dumb things. Pelicans, you are doing dumb shit. He played 4 minutes 40 seconds in that last quarter. You don't reckon we could have, instead of 5.5 minutes of Jackson Hayes, gotten maybe 3.5 minutes of Jackson Hayes and 6 minutes 40 of Zion? Just saying. So shit. Anyway, did that means next one up. Are the Pelicans locked to get into that? To at least the play-in series with the Grizz? Yeah, nah. Not a lock, nah. And I think we saw why tonight, right? They're still crazy young, and their attention defensively just fucking... wanders. You've got Giroux, you've got Lonzo. You should be better defensively than you are. Spindles, everyone's like, oh, he's so much better as a defender. Oh, yeah? Cool. Well, how about you bring us fucking home, Brandon? Jesus. Without their defensive coach, Alvin Gentry's never been known as a defensive savant, obviously. So, yeah, the Pelicans, they are very young. They are a lot of fun. They should be a lock to get into that play-in series with the Grizz, but... I don't know, man. Going to need to see a bit more. And finally, this one got brought up on the broadcast. Is AD Anthony Davis the best teammate LeBron's had? Yeah, nah. No fucking way. AD's what made a second round ever? Give me D-Wade all day, every day. Probably even take Kyrie over AD at the moment until he actually proves that he can win shit. I mean, we just saw in the fourth quarter, Titans up, scores 2 points. AD might be the most talented teammate that LeBron's had, but he's not close to being the best. Come on, mate. All right. What about the unpopular opinion of the day? I don't know if this is that unpopular, but we'll give it a shot.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. The Morris twins might be the most overrated players in the NBA. They were both flat out shithouse today, weren't they? Absolutely fucking brutal, the Morai. The best part is, you know me, long-running theory that the Morris twins just switch to whatever team the better one feels like. Still feel like Markeith was the better one for years, and then suddenly Marcus, Mook Morris, was the better one. Something smells a bit off to me. But anyway, tonight, they were both shit, And anyone who's like, oh, but they got Marcus Morris or they got Markeith Morris and that might help them get over the hump. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. All right. And finally, Outback Takehouse. Oh, I've missed Outback Takehouses. Come on. It's Friday at Outback, and you know what that means. That's right. Ice cold 4-for-1 TGIF. Oil drum cans full of icy cold Fosters. That's right. No bastard in Australia drinks this horse piss. We're going to flog it off to you fucking idiot Yanks who can't control coronavirus and think that Foster's means Australian for beer. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is... The Clippers tanked that game and were playing possum today in order to get the Lakers to relax so they can jump them in the Western Conference Finals. Only at Outback. I mean, pretty convincing tanking though, I guess. Why the fuck not? All right, we'll be back with Australian Player Watch, the Andrew Gaze Graham Umber Award, the Paddy Mills Game Day Baller, and the game previews right after. Let's say this one from Rowdy.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch, only one Aussie in action today. And remember, we do only have, I believe, 5 Aussies in action in the Orlando bubble at the moment. Hopefully, Rowdy will get there as well and hang out with his mates on the Sixers. But at the moment, we've got Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Aussie Matty T, Matisse Thybulle, Jinglin Joe Ingles, Patty Thrills, and Aaron Bangers Baines, who had that Rona and might not play in the first Phoenix game back. Who knows? Hopefully he's okay. But Jingles, I mentioned this earlier, but 32 minutes today as a starter for the Yaz. He and Royce and O'Neal trying to, replace Bojan. He had 13 points to the Jingling one. 4 of 7 shooting, 1 of 3 from 3, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 5 turnovers. This was the problem with the Yaz. A lot of turnovers for a team that doesn't turn it over that much. As they try to figure out some of the playmaking. Basically going into this game going, well, what do we do? How do we do it? And Mitchell was having a bit of a shit night. Conley did not really want to take over the reins. And Jingles was trying to do a little bit too much here and there. But he wasn't too bad. He had a good game in the end. 13-3-2-2. So good job, Jingles. Good job. And of course, we will keep you up to date on all of the strains involved in these playoffs. Should be good. Hopefully Bangers is all right, you know? All right, cool. Oh, I've missed this one. Let's do an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Because, fucking why not? It's the first Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba! Yes, clap it up, clap it up, clap it up. Ah, oh, there we go. This week's Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence goes to LeBron James. Today was the first time as a Laker he's hit a go-ahead shot in the final 15 seconds of a game. And boy fucking howdy was it a shot. That follow-up, like the shot that he took that he missed, you're like, oh, that wasn't great. But then he just fucking bodies his way in past 4 Clippers, gets the rebound, put back, boom, go ahead. Unbelievable. Like, this is fucking crazy, man. He scores the game-winning bucket and then basically covers Kawhi and Paul George on defense to secure that win. And then, as soon as he comes off the court, they've won, he... gets a bunch of questions about social injustice and comes up with some very, very smart, well-considered answers as he's buzzing like absolute bug fuck, no doubt, at the end of the game. Absolute incredible stuff. And yeah, he had a shit night, really, overall, but he got the win, came through at the very end, 16 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 turnovers. But man, just, he is fucking great. And it's very cool to see it. And some of his dunks early on, you're just like, dude, I can't believe he's this old and he's still doing this right now. So there you go. Got to appreciate LeBron while we can. All right, let's do a bit of Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? And we have a special one today for Patty Mills because Patty for PM is just out there crushing it as per fucking usual, is Paddy. Because today he did announce the Indigenous Basketball Australia organisation that's going to focus on creating pathways and opportunities at the grassroots level for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander youth, which is fucking amazing. So as mentioned, on this year's program, he is actually obviously donating his entire NBA restart salary to support social justice causes. And this is the first initiative of that that's going to seek to instill basketball skills, values, and wellness in the next generation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander youth across Australia. Paddy is an absolute fucking legend. You know that. He's already got the We Got You campaign. He's done this one, Indigenous Basketball Australia. Even the logo looks fucking sick. But as Matt Logue, friend of the program, Matt Logue, tweeted out, Boomers guard Paddy Mills is blessed with opportunities to live out his NBA dream. Now he wants to give the next generation the same chance. After launching a grassroots program, Indigenous Basketball Australia, and the news.com.au article about that, Paddy tweeted that out, and Tracy Holmes also did that as well with the very, very cool logo saying, IBA has been established to overcome the many challenges and barriers Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people face in the current Australian basketball systems and structures and create pathways and opportunities at the grassroots level so they have a better chance to advance and succeed at that level. Could have used maybe a copy editor in that one, but still very, very, very amazing stuff from Australia's finest sportsman, in my opinion. Incredible work, Paddy. Incredible work. Paddy for PM. Get Paddy Mills back and get him as our Prime Minister. Love it. Good stuff, Paddy. Good stuff. Can't wait to see him back in action as well for the Spurs. Speaking of which, let's do some game previews for the weekend, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
Aw, thanks, Inadvertent Bane. Boy, it's good to have you back.
Not a problem, Jimmy. It's always fun to be back. About to smash some tins as well. Yes?
You fucking know it, mate. All right, the game previews and picks, as always, brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. Today, I went 0-2 in the picks. I had the Pelicans -2.5 and the Lakers -4. Both those games were decided by two. And missed on both of them. So for the year, we're at 500 of 889 picks. Not bloody bad, I'll tell you that much. So let's have a look at some odds and make some picks for the rest of the weekend. And Monday, of course, because, you know, we'll watch Monday's games and then jump in and do Monday's show after those are finished. So we have all the games tomorrow. We've got the Magic versus the Brooklyn Nets. Hello! Look, the Nets are not going to be as bad as you expect, but they are not going to be very good. They will be the second worst team out there. Not as bad as the Wizards. Not as bad as people think. They'll be in some of these games, but they will not win many of them. I'll take the Orlando Magic -6.5 against the Nets at the moment. -6.5. They're just too big, too talented. They're a proper NBA team at the moment. The Nets are basically Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, and Jared Allen, not much else. The Memphis Grizzlies take on the Portland Trailblazers in one of the biggest swing games of this entire restart as their first game. I love this. I'm going to take the Blazers -2.5. I think with Nurk back, Collins back, Dame, CJ, Mello, I feel like they're ready and raring to go and will come out like fucking hellfire against Memphis. Memphis without Justice Winslow, I just don't know against teams like Portland if they'll have quite enough punch to say with the teams like the Blazers. So give me the Blazers -2.5. Phoenix versus the Wiz, I'm going -7.5 for the Phoenix because they're a proper NBA team. The King Gizzard and Lizard Wizards are fucking horrible. They are not an NBA team. I mentioned the other day that Rui Hachimura is probably their best player. They're shit. Boston versus Milwaukee. I might take the Celtics +4.5 here. Milwaukee are going to be dangerous, but at the same time, they're not going to be pushing as hard as can be to win some of these games. So I think Boston, if they do lose, it'll be close. I think it'll be a good game. Milwaukee obviously don't have Bledsoe. They don't have Patty Connaughton. They're still a very, very good team. But if Kemba Walker's good to go for Boston and they've got the rest of their team sort of ready and raring, they'll at least stick very close. So give me Boston +4.5 there. Sacramento don't have half their team. The Spurs don't have LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm going to take the Spurs +3.5. I trust the San Antonio system. just a little bit more than I trust the bare bones dregs of Sacramento. You know what I'm saying? Then we've got Houston versus Dallas. I think Houston, without Eric Gordon, that's a big blow. I'm going to take Dallas -1.5. I think they probably just have enough offense to at least keep up with Houston, and probably a little bit more defense than Houston have as well. Hopefully KP is healthy, because he's about a fucking foot taller than Houston centers. So off you go. Just imagine if they roll Tyson Chandler out there. That's pretty crazy. All right, Sunday, Miami versus Denver. We've actually got some lines for these as well. Miami +1.5. Versus Denver. I like that a lot. I mentioned that I don't like the Nuggets game in, game out. Just a little bit too unpredictable at the moment. Whereas Miami are a machine. They grind you into the ground. Give me Miami +1.5. They haven't had to travel too far. They've got a pretty good team. I think they'll be fine. Give me Miami +1.5. The Jazz, after today's game going up against OKC, I'm going to take the OKC Thunders -1.5. I think they are looking at the Jazz ahead of them in the standings going, come on, motherfuckers, let's go. CP3 really wants that. One big stanza, I think, for CP3 and OKC. So I feel like they might win that one. Utah, turnaround, second game of this versus OKC's first one. I think OKC will win that one. -1.5. Pelicans, Clippers. I'm going to take the Clippers here, -4.5. I just don't like the Pelicans' defense at all, and I feel like dudes like Kawhi and Paul George will sort of slice and dice them apart. So give me the Clips -4.5. Philly versus Indy. Can't wait for this one. Big Simo, Ben Simmons. I'm going to take them -5.5. I think they kill Indy. Even if Indy have Victor Oladipo, they don't have the big Suva. Domantas Sabonis. So I like Philly -5.5. And final game for that day, Raptors-Lakers. We have the Lakers 4.5-point favorites against the Raptors. You know the Lakers are going to go hammer and tongs against the Raps too. Because if the Lakers win this, they can cruise the rest of the way while they're in the bubble. They've already got the one seed wrapped up. But I like the Raps +4.5. It's just a couple of too many points. There's no home court advantage. The Raptors are really fucking good. Don't ever forget that. So give me the Raps +4.5. And Monday's games, I'm just going to pick head-to-head. Wiz versus Nets, give me the Nets. Portland versus Boston, I'll take the Celtics. San Antonio versus Memphis, I will take the Grizzlies. Sacramento versus Orlando, I will take the Orlando Magics. Milwaukee versus Houston, that'll be Milwaukee for me, please. And Dallas versus Phoenix on Monday, give me the Mavericks. There you go. There's all the picks for the weekend. See how we go out of all those. It's fascinating. No home court advantage. Everyone playing in Orlando. Everyone staying on res, basically, in the resort. It's pretty cool. So there you go. That's the NBA Australia picks are always brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. They're always good fun. And or you can go to NBAAustralia.com. Click on the banner. Good shit. All right. That's it. Holy crap. We're done. All right. That is it for this week. NBA is back. We're back daily. So we'll be back on Monday with all the usual dumbassery. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey IG. We're all over the socials all the time. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. We have new merch. So NBAAustralia.com/shop. We've got new t-shirts. Still got some hoodies. Stubby holders. Get around that. Fuck yeah. Chuck us a rating review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Podcast, Google Play, whatever app you use on your Android phone, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. If you can rate and review, it really does help out. So, look, if you're in Melbourne, you've got nothing else better to do. Speaking of which, go to thedailyliquor.com. If you're in Melbourne, you'll get free delivery and a free sixer if you just type in the code STRAYA, all caps, when you buy your booze. Otherwise, use thedailyliquor.com. They're fucking grouse. Grouse, I tells ya. Out here smashing sample beers. I've got the Dos Blocos behind me. Fucking awesome. Anyway, big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out the new band House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. They are fucking great. Also, big thanks to Joshua Delarandis, Fascinated, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Shadow, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear here throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And they can't play shows at the moment, so go buy some of their merch too. All right, we're going to close out this week with a Diary of Stephen Adams, a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams, and we We'll catch you on Monday, you dickheads. Have a great weekend, would ya? Because this is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves. And later! Zone! Oh, kia ora, Bruce. How's it going, eh? It's your old pal, Stephen Adams here, bro. Time for a brand new door entry, so here goes, bro. Oh, dear diary, it's me, bro. Stephen Adams, eh, bro? But you knew that, eh? Because you're my diary, bro. And you know all my deep, dark secrets, bro. Like how I smuggled in a whole bunch of hunger materials into the quarantine, eh? But shush, don't tell anybody, bro. Anyway, so yeah, bro, I'm here in Orlando, eh? And I'll tell you, bro, that's bloody magnificent down here, eh? I mean, I'm just chilling out, brew, sitting by the pool, brew, in my jandals, brew, smishing a tin of Dr. Pepper, brew. Just letting all the fellas know that there's a hungry at my joint later on, brew. Just loving the good life, eh? So yeah, brew, it's been a good couple of weeks, eh? Just sort of hanging out on vacation, on holiday. I love it. It's been really fun, but I mean, sure, we're going to play basketball tomorrow, brew, but I'm just stoked to be back, brew. But still, even though, you know, living in close proximity to little Chris has been a giant pain in the bum, eh? Little Chris has been marching around the resort, yelling at everyone to wear their masks, eh? Even if they've got them on, and they're wearing them. It's a bit much, that little prick, but still. Life is good, bro. Not like we're in Syria or anything, eh? Just hanging out in a resort. I even got to, you know, get letters from a mum, bro. She wrote to me last week. She was like, oh, Stephen, bro, all is well here in NZ. We've got no corona, so life is normal. Your cousin Rongo's back in jail, but for selling coronas with limes is corona medication, bro. Silly Rongo. But anyways, love you lots. Mum, oh, how sweet is that, bro? Oh, it's sweet as, eh? Anyway, so that's it for now, bro. Gonna go back to my room and check on the hungy that I've got going on out in the resort lawn. Hope that it's all cooking nice. Have a big hungy for everybody tonight before our game tomorrow, bro. So, hopefully we'll win. And until next week, bro. Kia ora. Cheer, cheer, bro. Love, Stephen Adams, bro.